Our next presenter is Carly Ritchie-Zavaleta, who holds two Masters of Art degrees in Sociology Practices and International Peace Studies. She's presently pursuing her doctorate degree in public health at Drexel University and works as a research assistant for Children's Health WASH, a nationally recognized project that monitors children's health in relation to public assistance programs and public policies. This summer, she was an OHIP intern in New York City working with retail wholesale department store union with a union, assessing occupational safety and environmental hazards in New York City car wash, the car wash industry. She is married to a very supportive husband and the pride and joy of her two wonderful children. Welcome, Carly.
Thank you. I just want to take maybe 30 seconds for you guys to stretch. I know it's the afternoon session, you know, after lunch, you kind of get sleepy. I totally understand.
Are you like a health educator?
Massage to the person next to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate just this opportunity of being part of OHIP. It was awesome. And I just want to recognize my partner. His name is Chris Haslinger. He is at Brown University. And so we work together, as Sarah said, in New York City. And we work with the car washers or car washers. We work in partnership with the retail, wholesale, and department store union, along with other two New York organizations. I have no relationship to disclose. And oops, this thing goes crazy. just to give you a little bit of background about the car wash establishments and businesses. There are about 200 car wash businesses in the five boroughs or the islands, boroughs, and that employ about 5,000 workers. The workers, most of them are migrants without documentation, and they are Latinos, but also Africans. And this work of unionizing the car washeros has taken over a decade. We talked to one lady who now works for the union, but she before was part of this, one of the Make the Road New York, and she said that she worked with this project for 10 years. And so it has taken a lot of work and dedication of many. And so since 2012, they have unionized 8 of the 200 car washers, and they have 7 ratified contracts. And one of the objectives, the main, the most common problems that you see with this industry is again wage and tip thefts, as well as kind of like instability with their hours. Sometimes some of the examples would where the manager would call the car wash worker to work 2 hours, and then he would say, oh, go home, there's not enough work for you. So that was a big issue. Also, they complain a lot about lack of respect and dignity among other ones. Our objectives were to assess the prevalence of the work sites, health hazards, as well as work-related injuries, and also environmental issues. I'll explain more about the environmental issues. My personal objective was to learn more about public health, and again, my background is more in sociology and human rights, so I really wanted to be exposed to public health issue and occupational health and safety. And I was drawn to OHIP because it really has a social justice component, and so I was very excited about that. Just to give you a little bit of context about, just to give you a little bit of context, if you have a car and you have used car wash services, you know, you go, the worker takes your car, and then the first thing they do is to vacuum it, and then after that they brush the tires. And this is one of the most high risk areas of the whole process, because they're brushing your tires with acid, and many times the concentrations are not as how they're supposed to be. So sometimes there are higher concentrations of what they are supposed to be. Then they go, if you look at the picture, the canals, then they take the car. So it's automatic. They take the cars, and then they, you know, these machines throw soap, and then they go through the rinsing, and then the drying, and then the detailing. I used to take my car. I mean, I never asked for detail, but I remember seeing the guys doing that detail. You never, you know, think about, at least I never did, of the hazardous exposure that these guys experience. Something also interesting that we saw is that with the large establishments, I think to make more money, now they are adding an oil change service. So you would see car wash, but then in the same establishment you will see also oil change. And one of the biggest complaints was when they do the fuel injection, all the fumes that come out of the car is really making them sick. And then the also when you think about, so all the dirty water goes into this, it kind of filters down into these big cisterns. And what happens is that the residues and that dirt start to accumulate. So it gets to a level where they have to clean it up. So I'll talk more about that cleaning process. But the sludge or the wastewater sediments are very toxic, and these guys need to clean it up without any proper protection. So we were able to conduct four focus groups. To me, those were the highlights of our project. They were really fun, very engaging. We had a total of 71 participants. We created a survey, and we were able to conduct 21 surveys. And sometimes it was, as you guys also experienced, it was hard to access, you know, the participants because they were busy working. So that's why we also did kind of like semi-structured interviews where the worker was, you know, doing his job and we were just conversing, kind of going through the process. And then we also did a total of seven worksite inspections. Our findings in terms of the injuries were definitely, in terms of the vacuum, there were a lot of cuts and eye irritation due to the dust. The cleaning, again, was very, this is a hard, high risk area because of the acid. You could see on the right, upper right, you could see the burns of the workers and the marks that they get. So the acid is corrosive, so it's constantly, you know, burning their skin. On that detail, it's also a high risk where they are spraying the chemicals. And I just want to share with you one of the, we call it the voices of the workers, so las voces de los trabajadores. This guy worked detail, and he said it's worse, he explained. We're cleaning the roof and spraying upward, the chemicals fall down on my eyes. When climbing through the car, his pants often get soaked in the chemical. Me duele hasta los huesos. Mi amigo pensaba que tenía arthritis. It hurts through my bones. My friend thought I had arthritis. At the end of the day, he said, toda mi ropa apesta a chemicals. All my clothes reek of chemicals at the end of the day. And in terms of oil change, again, the fuel injection, the clouds of smoke, I don't have a picture of it, but it's like literally this huge cloud of smoke that comes out all the way, not just the workers, but to the streets and then some just even exposes to people that are walking on the streets. They complain about palpitations. They would say that after breathing that smoke, they would have like heart palpitations, respiratory system irritation, nosebleeds, sinus infections. And in terms of the slush, again, these guys, the federal law requires people that create, businesses that create hazardous material to actually have someone who has been equipped and trying to remove it. But in this case, they pretty much require the workers to clean it. And most of these places don't have any right equipment, personal protective equipment to do the job. So they would, sometimes they would have like a plastic bag to protect them from that exposure to the slush. And so they would have a skin irritation, nausea, vomiting, headaches. We interviewed, this was really hard interview because this guy, he was doing the oil change, and they have completed one car, and then the next car came in, and there was a miscommunication between the worker that was underneath the hole, you know, where they changed the oil, and then so one car came over and totally smashed his head, and it broke like half of his front teeth. He lost like 7 tooth. You can see his jaw was like, you know, deformed a little bit. And that happened last year. To this day, they're still kind of working on his case. The guy, the manager at that time, didn't even call 911. He just took him to the hospital in his car. You know, just bleed. I mean, you can imagine. But they're exposed to a lot of machineries. Another thing with that car washers is that when the equipment breaks, the owner forces them or requires of them to fix it. And sometimes there were a lot of stories of just like getting their hands caught on this machinery. In terms of the environmental hazards, we found out that even though, again, the owners are required to dispose of this waste properly by calling someone, they just put it in bags. And then they just dump it into the regular trash, which, again, it should not be. But the city of New York doesn't have yet a regulation that really monitors and keeps these owners accountable. You can, right now, as today, you can open a car wash in New York, and you don't need a permit. So there's no regulations. And then everyone had runoff water, and research has shown that runoff water really damages the ecological systems of rivers and natural resources. In terms of OSHA violations, we found a lot of OSHA violations, confined spaces when they go down to the cisterns, PPA, they don't provide them, MSCS are either non-existent, or if they are, they're not accessible to the workers. And eyewash stations, they may have them, but there's no water, just things like that. And so we submitted our recommendations. Again, the best thing is to remove the hazard. But one of the impacts that our project did is that they submitted a report to OSHA, and then they requested a site inspection of the worst sites that hasn't been unionized. So that was really exciting to hear. And then from a more personal level, I was really touched by the lives of the workers and just the organizers. They're just very dedicated people. And also, it was the first time, even though I knew it, it was the first time that I was able to see how policy, organizing, people, and research really come together. So again, thank you so much for everything. And I just, even though my husband is not here, I just want to acknowledge him for his support. Thank you. So they requested it, so they're waiting for it. But it's that's like this guy is the owner of this particular establishment. It's just he owns so many more businesses, and so he's really fighting back. And you know, these are vulnerable workers. So, but hopefully they will come. His actual building had a lot of structural problems, and the guys would. You know, they are concerned because he has a tire business, so every day they have to go up the ladder, bring these rims, clean them with acid, and up on the roof of the car wash place, he has like 150 to 200 rims, and you can see the cracks. The guy, the worker, actually took some pictures, and you can see the cracks. It's just, I mean, this guy is just unbelievable, but so hopefully he can, they can go soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, yeah, because it was really hard to go into the ones that didn't have union, so that's why, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit more about the owners. Did one owner own one facility, or are there some owners that own multiple facilities?
Yeah, and so they are the, yeah, so one, like one, for example, one owns like 20-something car washers. And so, and all of them are really close. So you hear, you know, as soon as they know that one is being unionized, one of the sites was going, it was really close to becoming unionized, and we were able to witness how the owners were just trying to convince the workers, you know, this is just by manipulation, by bringing them food, or by threatening them, by bringing their own lawyer and talking to them. I mean, it was just very fascinating to see that process of how someone has to work really hard to become unionized and to fight the owners.
What about New York City giving them licenses or not giving them licenses?
So,
you talk to find out the policy?
Mm-hmm. So actually, yeah, so it's actually right now it's they've been fighting going to the city council. So the union has a policy component, and so they've been doing a campaign, and they're really been bringing people and workers. A lot of the SUNY, you know, the university in New York. There's one particular professor that supports that. You know, he has done a lot of research on the environmental impacts of the car washing industry in the environment. So, they are fighting right now. They're really fighting to create laws that would keep them accountable.
But garages have to have licenses.
I know.
Car washes don't.
They don't. I know. It makes no sense.
Doing business
as. Not sure, but they don't have, you know, like they were talking about, like the food business. You have to have a license. And you have to have certain regulations, but they don't, not under the city policies or laws. They do under federal law, but not under the city local governments. Thank you.